So then he says to me, like, what are you doing over here in this part of town? And I was like, hey, buddy, I'm just trying to get a snack, maybe a hot dog. So I'm sitting there, barbecue sauce on my titties. And he just goes, we don't like that around here. You got to go. And I was like, all right, well, then that's the end of my, that was the end of my trip to Jersey. So, oh shit, we're live in Discord.
It's right, like your second trip to Jersey. Did you go to Jersey like not last week, but the week before?
That's why it smells so bad there still.
Oh, shit.
Probably.
I thought that was just Jersey.
I mean, it is, but also.
I mean, you're not wrong.
First of all, you're saying it wrong. It's Jersey. That's how you say it.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not from Jersey, so I don't need say it like that. Like, I don't have to say it Missouri, because fuck that. I'm not from.
God dang Missouri.
Or Louisville. Fuck that. Get out of here, you Kentuckians.
Well, that's like in South Carolina, we have Beaufort, but up here in North Carolina, it's Beaufort. Like two different cities. And I'm like, I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yes, well, it does.
I guess one is like definitely like U.S. country pronunciation, and the other one is like, yeah, we're going to pull from like French.
Someone already busted out the Tony Soprano.
Oh, yeah. No, the second I mentioned the accent, I knew somebody was going to do it. Though I will admit,
until you bust out your Tony Soprano.
There it is. I will admit, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't pull from the trailer from the new movie. I mean, like, that would have been a perfect, like, tie-in to the, like, young Tony Soprano movie that's coming out. Wait, which is fucking
they're doing a young Tony Soprano movie?
They're absolutely, yeah.
Oh, shit, I didn't know.
I've seen a couple of trailers for it. There was one before I saw Shang-Chi, and the other one was before I saw Free Guy. And they were different trailers. It was, like, the regular and then, like, the extended trailer.
I was half asleep watching YouTube one day and like an ad came up and it was Shang-Chi, but I only caught like part of it, and for a split second I was like, am I watching the Wheel of Time trailer as an ad on YouTube? It was very obvious. Because
the Shang-Chi guy kind of looks a little bit like Daniel Henney.
I think it was like the costumes, but maybe, I don't know.
Fair enough.
Like, they got James Gandolfini's son to do it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah. If you want to unmute and Discord, Tommy, you're more than welcome to.
Oh, okay. If not, it's not going to fuck nothing up if I'm muted. Okay.
No, this is like, so Discord is how the patrons listen to us live. And that's how we turn.
So you can hear me now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Now, stop it now. Do it. Do it now.
Can everyone hear me?
Discord.
Can everyone see me?
Oh. Get down.
Kenneth Branagh. What a wonderful
His name is Gerald. My beard's name.
Ah, wow. All right.
Sometimes it goes by Dr. Kenneth Noisewater.
She sensed it. She didn't even have to see. Immediately, I told her, who's the new beard?
Right?
It's like glistening in the light. Look at it. It's like
glistening.
Yeah.
Right?
Luxury. Looking good. Mine always looks like extra red.
Yes. Well, I don't. It's only definitely your lighting.
Like, well, I mean, you can see, like, no, it's this cheek. I don't know how to, like, point. It's like this one. You can see the red a little bit.
It's only because of my lighting. Just wash it out. Well, that makes it worse.
No, it's still super red. Like, you just made it. Okay, there we go.
So, see, I would not be mad at all if it was, like, Lauren's level of, like, red. Like, that is a beautiful shade of hair. Like, I'm going to have to go to a hairdresser, get that color, and just...
Oh, wait, hold on. There's an echo.
Uh-oh.
That's probably me.
Oh, yeah. Might be able to hear us through your speakers.
I'll just put this on.
Oh, God.
Didn't think about that part.
Everybody's got the full headphones.
I was avoiding the headphones, but I'll put them on so that there's no echo.
Well, sorry. Blame Patreon. It's what we do. I mean, what? Hi, guys. Hi. How's everybody going?
See, it was me. It was my fault. Just blame me. Just blame me. It's my fault. It's all my fault.
Indeed.
All right. Daniel, you want to kick us off?
Indeed. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Black Tower. And all of your gentlemen here who are part of the Black Tower podcast, coming at you from the Black Tower, right outside Camelot, and they don't like it. So yeah, we're here.
Incredibly awkward.
Yeah, this is a Wheel of Time podcast. I am one of your illustrious hosts, your Amon-Kam Mihail, Daniel. We are joined in spirit by our Sorvan Mihail, who is on vacation right now. Actually,
he's just soaring.
Finishing. Kill myself and everyone else.
He's in a show wing right now. He found it in a vacuole.
Indeed. He is flying back from vacation, but he is currently on some mode of air transportation that you want to pull from the Wheel of Time. Because I think we said all of them, so I don't have one left. But, you know, we're good. But yeah, we're joined by Josh in spirit. He's above us right now, always in our hearts.
I think the only one that we're missing is riding on the back of Hopper as he flies through the air.
Oh, fair enough. That was good. I like that. I'm actually very annoyed that I
was envisioning that for a second.
Yeah, just picture it.
If it was doable, Josh would definitely be doing that.
Yeah.
For sure.
100%.
I am your far less illustrious host, Andrew. And welcome.
Bullshit.
And whatever.
Yeah, and we're here. This is cool.
This is like the most awkward intro ever.
and we're here. And that's the whole point. How are you now?
Come on, be a guest of the most awkward intro.
What
in content history?
What day are?
How do humans speak?
What? How? And I was once human. I was human. I'm actually still human, but I was just speaking of myself in the past. have you guys ever seen that?
Mark, you drank too much narg juice,
dude. It's so funny.
I don't think
Mark Zuckerberg outs himself as a robot. That's great. But anyway, we're here not to talk about Mark Zuckerberg or Bezos's dick rocket or Elon Musk's Teslas. We're here to talk about the Wheel of Time. That's the only thing that we're here to talk about.
Don't worry, I'll cut it out. Don't worry.
No, you can leave the dick rocket in.
Okay.
See, that's Ooh. You got to cut that. That's the snap. That's the sound bite right there. You can leave the dick rocket in.
You know, I thought about editing like a special sound. Like intro for guests, like moving forward, and that might be the little bit that I use for you.
Yes!
And then you got to play the Pornhub sound.
Boom.
I don't think it came through on Discord. What is my microphone set to on Discord?
I heard
the right thing. That's all that. I don't know. Maybe it did come through. Who knows? Any hooker. So we have some Patreon shout outs. We're going to go ahead and get those right off the top of the show. So thank you so much and welcome to the ranks of the Black Tower. Our two newest patrons coming in at the Ashaman tier. It's Daddy Mihail, Andrew.
Please don't ever say that again. What he's trying to say is Daddy that it's Mihail. My actual father. So he is the father of an actual Mihail.
Yeah, Daddy
but
Mihail.
Please don't ever use Daddy Mihail ever again. That's a whole
Faja Mihail?
There we go. That's better. I'm already way more down with that than Daddy Mihail.
I hope that he hears that and like immediately just calls you and is like, who the fuck are you doing this show with? Like what? I paid good money and this is the thanks I get.
Right.
And then at our coming in as a new family member to all of us here at the Black Tower, we have Brian. Thank you guys so much for joining the Black Tower and supporting us. And hold on, because I got to do some checking to make sure we didn't miss somebody's shout out. It may be an episode that hasn't gone public yet.
Possible, because it was actually relatively recent.
I got to see when the alert was on the site where the thing is done.
Oh, we just did it. He is Brian.
Oh, I'm dumb. And by dumb, I had no way of knowing. I don't. It's hard for me to like link names from like online to all the other. No, you're good.
You're good.
No worries.
Excellent. Well,
Brian, aka wonderful. Old Dirt Beard, in our Discord.
Yeah, oh,
there you go.
Very old Dirty active, Beard. Very funny. We appreciate him.
So and somebody yeah.
Wow.
And so those are Patreon shout outs. If you too want to get shouted out in an episode as a patron, then go become a patron. And the easiest way to figure out how to do that is take yourself on over to that www.blacktowerpod.com. Sorry for the quick interruption, but just wanted to take a second to make sure you knew about blacktowerpod.com. It is our very own website with very handy links for you to access all of your favorite Black Tower podcast stuff. Whoa. A break-in during a break-in for a plug? Yes. Patreon. It's a fantastic place for you to support your favorite content creators. For as little as $1 a month, you can throw some support our way and help us continue what we're doing here at the Black Tower Podcast. That $1 a month will get you into our live recordings. We will also shout you out during an episode, and you get access to record a spoiler warning for our episodes that we will use. There are some other perks, like our Sword and Dragon Challenge coins that you can only get by being a Patreon member. And there are perks as far as getting some different random merchandise from us and things like that. Go on over to our Patreon and check it out. And we thank you again. Now, what was the other plug I was doing? Do you want to post in the forums on the website? There's a button for that. Do you want to join our Discord and talk to us there? There's a button for that where you can just click and join the Discord right there. One click and done. Do you want to check out our merch? There are buttons for those. If you want to see what we've been doing recently, there's a section called Dragonsworn On Demand, a calendar for the Black Tower. We thank you so much for checking it out. And now let's get into the episode. Also, very importantly, as you're listening to this episode on the 24th September or are able to publicly, if you go on to the website, there is also a link that will take you to all of our information about the upcoming Gathering Madness, October 15th and 16th. You can also just go to blacktowerpod.com/TGM. That's Tangle Golf Mike, just the letters, not those words. And you can get all the information. You can see the schedule. You can see the actual event flyer. You can submit recipes for the mixology contest, and you can RSVP, which is more important if you're going to try to come in person. Definitely need the RSVP so that way we can create a ticket for you and send it to you in case any restrictions come down that require the event to be considered private, which it kind of already is. At least it's in person private. So there is
in person privates.
What? In person privates.
Yeah.
While you're there.
Also, again, guys, if you want in-person privates, you will need to go from our normal Zoom call into our Only Taints. That's where all of that is going to be posted. Yeah. So,
all right. Also, another announcement. While you're on blacktowerpod.com, go check out the New Creations by Jen shop. You can just click it and open it right there in that window. We have a new shirt that is up for you to enjoy. If you've seen the Rand and Matt and Perrin and Egwene shirts, the like Landfear Asmodian, all of those and shirts that Rob over at Weekly World News has made for his section on New Creations by Jen, we got their approval to kind of fade off of that design, and now there is a Flicker and Flicker and Flicker and Flicker and Flicker t-shirt. So go and get that, and we're working on another design that doesn't have the ants maybe in it. But if it's get the whole collection of the and shirts, so go and check it out. It's pretty dope. It's pretty cool. I like it, and I'll get one here soon. Just got to figure out when I'm going to get it. If I remember. Oh yeah.
No.
maybe that'll be the prize for the fantasy league. That we drafted
we'll see.
The other day.
We'll see.
I'm sure you'll actually have one by then.
Yeah. So, but once you're done checking out all that stuff, head on over and do definitely check out the Crystal Barista. She is, again, our official sponsor. Sorry to cut in again, but we got to take a second and thank our channel sponsor, the Crystal Barista. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and check out all of the amazing rocks and minerals and the tools for rock hounding if you want to do it on your own that you can find there.
if you want to do subscription boxes. Crystal Barista also offers monthly subscription boxes that are delivered directly to your door and hand-packed by Crystal Barista with the assistance of our own Sorvon Mihail, Josh. Also make sure you check out Crystal Barista's Facebook page at facebook.com/rockpick. That's pick as in pickaxe with a K at the end for all of the amazing deals that the Crystal Barista does do from time to time. It's also the same place where if you're in the local area, you can see posts and updates about coming events. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and then check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockpick. And when you're done getting everything you could possibly desire from crystalbarista.com, make sure that you let the Crystal Barista know the Black Tower Podcast sent you. Now, back into the episode.
That's enough plugs for now. I think that's everything we needed to talk about then. There's one more thing. It was kind of important thing. It's almost like there's somebody else that we were going to talk about. And I feel like they're near.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're close by.
Yeah.
But
right on the tip of my mount.
Tip of Dick Mountain.
Yeah, guys, we have a fantastic guest. It is another one of the wonderful folks from Dragon Mount. We have Tom with us. Tom, say hi and do the things.
Hi, I'm doing the things. I know. I mean, you probably can't see me, but I'm dancing. I mean, they can see me, and then they get the full of me just doing my butt dance in my chair. No, so yeah, I'm Tom DeSimone is my name. Anyone going to Jordan Con in the last, holy shit, 13 fucking years, will probably have seen me there. I am guest services at Jordan Con, and I also am part of the little show, just, you know, a small part of the show. The real stars, Kitties, Kitty and Ebony are the real stars, for Dragon Mount, the Wheel of Time community show over on Dragon Mount. We have YouTubes. And if you go to dragonmount.com,
you'll find YouTube,
all this stuff there. I'm bad at social media plugs. I don't know all the links and hashtags. Same. And at symbol signs for peoples, but it's all on the website. It's all there.
And luckily, y'all have a link tree, and that's going to be down in the description on YouTube, the show notes on Podbean, as well as a link to Tom's Twitter so that you can go and follow and stalk. I mean, see everything that Tom does on Twitter.
And what they gave me, so Kitty, the next episode that's going to be coming out, Kitty is doing a new cooking episode.
Oh.
Where she did the buns, the honey cakes. And now she's doing, apparently at some point there's like a roast chicken that I don't know, someone asked, that she was asked to do it. And it's real time thing.
They're gonna make me eat.
So she's making a roast chicken.
Oh. In this fucking place.
Yes. When is that coming out? Do you know?
They didn't tell me the date. That would have been smart.
So if it comes out after the 24th, be looking forward to that and keep your eyes open for that video. If it came out before the 24th, if
you haven't already
watched it now. Yeah. If you haven't already watched it, go back and watch it. If you have already watched it, go and watch it again, just because we asked you to so nicely.
Yeah. And Kitty's fantastic. She's fantastic. I love her.
Aww.
I think that's all the pimping that we have for now.
Pimping.
And just because, so I'm also loosely affiliated with Tarvalon.net. It's a ancient, just as almost as ancient as Dragon Mount fan website for the Wheel of Time, one of the like a semi-official fan websites. And they do a lot of good work there. They're a charity company. They recently did the Robert Jordan Memorial Scholarship Essay Contest, where every year they give away $5,000 to the winner of the contest, and they recently did that. Yeah, it was. I'm on the hall. I'm in the hall of the tower, and I got to read the essays there. Some of them were good. Some of them were just like, give me money, and we were like, that's about not. The essay is supposed to be like, how are you a servant of all? You know, what would you do with the money to, you know, to help society? Because it's, you know, Aes Sedai.
And how are you a servant of all? How are you?
But check it out. You know, go, you know, join it. And you know, they have companies and Ajas, and they recently, when the books updated to allowing bonds and different people to be Aes Sedai. They recently made it so that anyone can be an Aes Sedai. Anyone could be in the companies. You don't have to be, you know, a woman to be an Aes Sedai anymore, which is book accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we're before the age they're in. And so all sexes and genders can be Aes Sedai at this point.
Exactly.
Because men don't go mad from using magic yet.
Or well, anymore. Already have a while anymore. Back.
Or they already have. Yeah, see?
See? Everyone's a little mad. But they're a great website and good people. So yep. That's where I got my start from in the Wheel of Time community was I went to the first Jordan Con and then I was recruited into that.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, we had two of the folks from tarvalon.net on way back in, I guess what now would be the infancy of the podcast. And we did an episode on LGBTQ+ in the Wheel of Time. This was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. So
oh, James. Go back. Yeah, right.
Yeah, James and Sam, I think. Am I saying the right name or the wrong name? Probably the wrong name because I'm bad with names.
If it was the Amaryllis seat, then it's Shannon.
I think it was Shannon.
Yeah, she's the Amaryllis seat and CEO of Tarvalon.net. Yeah.
I haven't forgotten you. I'm just shit with names.
She's that is true. I can vouch for that. He does like human beings, and he did not mean to.
You like human beings?
He's just bad at that.
I think he's making a lot of assumptions with that phrase. Anyway, so before we get into the topic for this episode,
oh yeah, we're actually talking about something.
Oh shit! Yeah. There's an episode with a topic.
Yeah. We're gonna go ahead and go with. Kindred Spirit, if you would please give us a number between 1 and 7, that will decide our spoiler warning for this episode. If you want to, if you don't, then we can ask somebody else to do it. 4. And you that know. Is. That is this one. Okay. So this one is going to be a throwback to, again, a way earlier episode. Where I had absolutely terrible mic quality, but everybody else had great mic quality. And speaking of Mike, we had Michael and Kate on. So this is the spoiler warning from Kate Reading and Michael Kramer.
This episode contains spoilers from the entire Wheel of Time series.
If you have not read the series, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You have been warned.
Yeah.
That was great.
Short, sweet, and to the point. Just like Michael fantastic. And Kramer.
They're great people. They're really nice. They're fun too.
Oh, they are. It's been really cool to like see them on some more like the shows and like stuff that the Wheel of Time content creators and all are doing. Yeah. And you can tell like they're just having a blast.
Yeah, they're definitely enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Which is good. Very deserved.
Yeah. Maria also has a great time with stuff like this. Maria Simmons. She loves hanging out with the fans and doing, you know, like fun little things like this and like games and stuff like that. She has a good time.
Yep.
She often goes tanning in Tanchico. So.
I saw the pictures from that. That sounds creepy. I'm gonna cut that fucking part out.
Yeah.
Anyway. what is our topic for tonight, Daniel? Or do you want me to say?
No, I got it. So.
I hope so.
This has been a sort of well thrown around topic in the Wheel of Time community because it's an interesting thing to talk about given that in some ways it's the crux of the whole series. but recently Dusty Wheel did an episode on this and we thought we would also weigh in with our ideas. Also, it was a fan request that we also do this topic, which we are kind of suckers for our fans, if you hadn't noticed. So I'm not saying we'll do anything and everything they want, but...
We'll do anything and so everything they want.
Right? Dusty Will did a live show about this not too terribly long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if YouTube ate the comment for some reason or if they retracted their comment. No, it was actually a comment on the YouTube channel as well.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't know if YouTube ate it or if they deleted it or whatever the case is. We're not going to say the name of who it was just in case you deleted it because you wanted to. But somebody did comment asking for us to do our own kind of spin or our own time talking about the topic.
Correct.
So
the topic itself is basically, can the Dark One actually win? Can the Dark One accomplish his goal that is stated in the books of ending time itself, of breaking the wheel, of stopping it turning, of bringing the whole world into darkness and destroying everything and anything so that the cycle is no more?
Yes. All right. Good episode, guys. See you later.
Yep. Boom, there you go.
That's all the time we have for you tonight, folks. Catch us for part two in 3 years.
Right? but yeah, so that's the gist of the question. That is the gist of the topic.
That is the gist of the topic.
The gist of the topic is, can the Dark One actually accomplish his goal and win?
Yeah. So
now you have my opinion already.
Apparently. So, Andrew, what is your one-word answer to this?
Yes, with an asterisk.
And I'm going to come out and say no. All right, great. So we have the whole gamut of...
the whole gamut. Yes, no.
Yes, no, and yes with an asterisk. All right. I guess we technically don't have no with an asterisk, but also...
no, with a semicolon.
Yeah. There we go. All right, perfect.
No, because...
But all right, so I would actually very much like to hear much elaboration on this. And I would like to start with Andrew, if you will, as far as you said yes with an asterisk. And I am fascinated to find out what yes with an asterisk means.
Yeah, so the asterisk, so if we're talking about accomplishing his goal, like the Dark One's goal ultimately is to destroy the wheel. And therefore destroy time and the pattern, all of it together, while remaining free. The asterisk is because I believe there is a way where he can destroy time, but if it's ill-timed, will result in him not being free.
Fair.
So I think there's an equal chance that he could do it and have the appropriate timing and still be free, and you know, then things just go as things go after then. But I think that there is a situation in which he could break the wheel and do it in a way to where he's still sealed away in his prison by the soul, by the reincarnated soul of the Dragon Reborn.
Interesting. All right, Tom, tell me why yes emphatically.
Emphatically? Well, I think
it sounded like you were pretty emphatically yes.
Well, I mean, is it possible? I don't see why it wouldn't be possible. I mean, the answer to that is so weird because the Dark One isn't a person or a being. It's like a metaphysical essence that exists outside of time. But I think the Dark One winning would just look like nothing. And, you know, there was nothing at some point. Is it really the Dark One winning, or is it just entropy, you know, to its inevitable end of there being nothing and then it's starting over again since, you know, everything is cyclical?
Yeah, it's one of those questions where you can't not dig into the metaphysics of the Wheel of Time.
Yeah, of course.
So like the one of the biggest things Tommy already mentioned is the absolute knowledge that the Dark One exists outside of space-time, just like the Creator exists outside of space-time. Thus you have your yin and your yang, your good to your evil, your light to your dark.
So, even though I think that the Creator is dead, but that's a different episode.
Yeah, yeah. So theoretically, you have them.
Can we just do that episode now? Can we forget this stupid topic? No, just kidding.
No, not at all.
I'm just kidding.
So through the mirror worlds, they create this overlaying mesh of different layers of the pattern, right? That create all these mirror worlds that are different alternate realities based off of different decisions made at different points throughout history. It could be any point in any age, as long as it's a different decision, technically, right? So with an infinite number of mirror worlds, the reborn soul of the dragon only has to win in one, any one of those to keep the Dark One sealed away. Because if he exists outside of space-time, his prison is outside of space-time. So if any one reborn soul of the dragon patches, even shittily, like Luz Theron, patches the hole in the Dark One's prison, the Dark One cannot destroy the wheel. So that's his big handicap. He has to win in all of an infinite number of mirror worlds. The Dragon Reborn only has to win in one. So literally, you could have one out of all infinite number of mirror worlds where the dragon wins in one and he's lost, and every single other one are gone over to the shadow, and the Dark One still technically loses.
So I agree and disagree with you at the same time on that. So right. I think, so personally, my opinion on the multiverse of the Wheel of Time, the mirror worlds, is not that they are like the general accepted theory of like actual string theory and like the multiverse in real life. That's, you know, again, just a theory. Yeah. Or the one that's like in the Marvel universe where all of the world, the other universes are full functioning, full-fledged universes that have just as much bearing on existence as, you know, the one that, you know, the main one. I think in the Wheel of Time, you have the timeline of the Wheel of Time, the main universe, and then the ones that are off of that are reflections upon reflections upon reflections upon reflections. And the further you get out, the weaker they are and the less tangible they are, meaning like the Dark One has to win in that main world. Like this is the one where that matters. Whereas if he were to win in one of those other ones, that's irrelevant because they don't really, they're not really universes. They're more like reflections of the what if of our universe.
The what
that
if.
Makes sense. Yeah. Hi. It's a plug for Marvel.
But what if Rand lost Min instead of his hand?
Yeah.
Can I just say that that is like when we get to the Wheel of Time what ifs, I just want to see a direct what if on the Wheel of Time that's just what if Min died instead of he loses his hand. And I want it to go exactly the same way as the Doctor Strange episode. Just saying.
That would be, oh man, that would be crazy. Man, Rand is dark enough and broody enough, man.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And you know that he already goes to like pretty dark Darth Rand without losing Man. You know he'd be right there
done
if he actually lost.
That's him. Like, that was like one of the big arguments that everyone always said about, like them cutting Min from their show. Like Min is his rock. Min is what grounds him to being like Saint. Like, bitch, she fucking failed. Like she did not do a good job at that shit. Like, look at this motherfucker's crazy.
Though, imagine if she wasn't there at all.
That's fair.
She's
who
not
knows
doing
what
the
happened.
Greatest job
nah,
in
yeah.
the world.
It's not that she did a bad job,
but only because the work is so fucking intense.
Yeah.
It's the argument that she did a really good job considering how bad her not being there would have been.
Yes.
So no, it's exactly. Like it's not like the on a grading scale of 1 to 100. It's on a like from her not being there to her being there, how well of being there did she do kind of thing.
Yeah,
basically. You know,
so it's like, I mean, an altered like grading scale.
Yeah, she does literally like good angel him a lot. She sits on his
shoulders.
There's
definitely some curves. There's definitely like some curves in that grading scale.
Oh, I'm aware. Very well turned, Cav.
Oh yeah. So the difference in our theories then is going to be, and there's probably more source material to support your interpretation of the mirror worlds, to be perfectly honest with you. That the further away you get from the true world, the less real the worlds feel. Even to the point of the closer you get to the true world, the people that populate those worlds aren't actually people. They're reflections of people in the true world. And the more I read and talk about it, the more I don't like my own initial statement. I like it as a headcanon, but as far as like being fair and realistic, okay, but fucking fair.
Yeah. I mean, and Lanfear says that, you know, somewhat in when they are there, you know, like this is a reflection of the real world. And some of them are not stable and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
but some of them have to be like tangible enough, because all of the unique creatures of the Shan-Chan we know come from mirror worlds.
Yeah.
They went through and pulled them over.
They did say like, what did she said the more closer to reality, the I don't remember exactly. So someone will look it up and correct us in the
more
chat,
shoddy.
Probably. But she says something along the lines of like, you know, the closer to the true reality that it is, the more, you know, stable it is. Something along those lines.
If nothing else, you can go and find that on watt.fandom.com, not sponsored, and look up Mirror World, and that's in their write-up on Mirror Worlds.
What's that?
The statement that you just made. The more likely, or so basically, what it says on the fandom wiki. So caveat, it is a fandom wiki, so there is still the possibility of it being wrong. Much like one of the flags or banners they use for one of the many nations that they have illustrated wrong. Anyway, love you guys over there. You do a great job. Not throwing shit at you, but
also fix your flag.
You can fix it. We'll help you somehow. I don't know.
Who knows how to do digital art?
Yeah, we'll pay somebody to do digital art. $5. It's not going to be a really great drawing, but it'll be there. The Mirror Worlds are all representatives of like ifs. They're like Marvel's What If series, like where if decisions were made differently, and the further away that you get, the less realistic or similar they are to the true world. So they're going to be less real. I don't know if that necessarily means that, like, when you're in them, they're less tangible. That does introduce another horrifying element to using the portal stones.
Yeah.
That you could have potentially just jumped into a world and fell through the world into the void and, you know, died like in Minecraft, I guess.
I feel like that's exactly what Baron is basically saying when she's, like, at the portal stone. She's like, hey, I trust you. Because I know things that I shouldn't know.
Yeah.
And you're definitely the Dragon Reborn. But if you pick the wrong one or do this badly,
She's relying on Taviren. Taviren nature is not going to allow him to fall through the pattern out of it.
I feel like if they don't show a shot in the show of Baron, like as he's doing it, just being like,
See, I was gonna say like the brown in her also comes out because she also probably is kind of curious, you know, like she's probably like there's that little bit of like I hope it doesn't, but also like ooh, I wonder what's gonna happen.
Right? If we end up in a mirror world, I'll get to go study a mirror world. I'm not actually that mad at that, unless we fall through it and all die.
Or even worse, like get unmade somehow.
Yeah. I love the live chat things of like them getting stuck in C-137 with Jerry. Mm-hmm. The Wheel of Time in the Rick and Morty universe.
Oh God!
Oh jeez, yeah. Rand, you're really fucked up.
This is bad, guys.
Rick and Morty's terrible.
Oh,
he's a pickle, guys. Funniest shit I've ever seen.
Oh God. And the other cool thing about the portal stones is that they're left, like they studied them in the Age of Legends. Like they were left, they say like they're left over from an age even like, like so far before the Age of Legends that the people in the Age of Legends had no idea what their true purpose was.
Oh yeah. That's one of the coolest things. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a section where Loyal, like he tries to explain the concept of mirror worlds to Ran. And he's like, so it's the argument comes that like it's fair to reason that Loyal has read at least some pages of the book Mirrors of the Wheel, which was written before the breaking of the world, which would be like that, you know, kind of testament to studying the mirror worlds.
Yeah.
And it's still like, even though he like tells him things, he's like, it's more of like a question. Like most of it sounded, he basically says most of the book sounded like this. If a woman go left or right, does time's flow divide? Does the wheel then weave two patterns, 1,000 for each of her turnings, as many as the stars, is one real and the others merely shadows and reflections? Which we expect them to be unsure because unreliable narrator, because things get forgotten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And RJ probably like he probably went deep in that shit because like his notes are pretty fucking extensive, but
and he loved, you know, he probably metaphysics. Didn't,
oh yeah, he's huge fan of like of that crunchiness that he added in for that. But I don't think he went as deep as, you know, as far as you can go down that rabbit hole.
Sure. Most of us don't.
Yeah. I think a large reason is that we don't have that much
to use to actually get terribly deep into that rabbit hole. Some of us can only get like, you know, 2-3 inches.
Ah!
Others can go a little deeper into that rabbit hole. But the only thing that matters is as long as you've wrapped it before you go into the rabbit hole, then you're fine.
And now his girlfriend is off camera. I told you to stop calling me the rabbit hole. though he also did leave things ambiguous like that, like this, yes. Like, you know, for people to talk about. That was one thing, yes, that he always said. He liked fan theories and he liked seeing, you know, stuff like this, like exactly what we're doing right now. He purposefully, you know, didn't give us a lot of information so that this could continue.
Yeah. And that was going to be like, that was one of the questions I had when I was thinking about this is, are there also then an infinite number of copies of each soul? And no. What we're looking at seems to indicate, yeah, like you said, like, no, there's not. When you see people in other mirror worlds, they're reflections of the true world. So that means there is only one truly reborn dragon.
Exactly.
So
that's why, that's the only reason that I lean more toward that.
Okay. So we're still on the same page overall.
Yeah.
And now I'm on board with you with that for sure.
No more asterisk.
Yeah. I mean, no, the asterisk still exists.
Different asterisk.
Yeah.
The
asterisk there's an addendum.
There's
an addendum now.
There's an addendum to the asterisk. The asterisk has an asterisk.
Yes.
The smaller italicized asterisk.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed. So then I guess like my guess would then be predicated on the, if the Dark One is able to make his strike before the weaves are set in using all three sections of power, so Sidine, Sidere, and the true power to take Anne, or true source, true power, true source.
True power.
That one.
Well, if I he guess can, it's the if true he can land his blow.
Ah!
Because it's both essences of the true source and also the true power.
Is there evidence that the Dark One can himself use the true source?
He's the conduit through which anybody else.
No. Not his power. His power. Sidine and Sidar.
I can't see why not, but I also don't see evidence of him ever actually using it.
Yeah,
at all.
No.
Therefore, I can't say that with certainty.
Here's something that I never thought of.
Why?
Yeah.
Not.
This is something that I've never thought of before.
So the true power finds its source in the Dark One rather than the force that drives the Wheel of Time itself.
Right. That I'm saying, can the Dark One even use Sidine or Sidar?
Actually, I would say probably not.
I would say probably not too.
Because then
that's the creator.
Yeah, I was gonna say that read sounds like the true power is one of the things turning the wheel. And the true source is the other thing turning the wheel, and them together both having their origins in different entities, one being the Dark One and the other one being the creator in so many ways, is just what continues to keep the wheel turning.
Yeah,
that's not how it's described. It's described as it's Sidine and Sidar working against each other and with each other that creates the energy to turn the wheel.
Yeah, the Wheel of Time is the creation of the creator. And what turns it is Sidine and Sidar. Whereas the power of, and this is again, this is just my brain. I'm not like quoting scripture. And then the Dark One's power is the opposite of creation, is entropy.
Well, see, but no, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm actually agreeing with you in so many ways, is that there cannot be the wheel without the Dark One.
And we know that because of... saying. Yeah, I mean, we know that because of the end.
This in so many ways. And so if you need both the creator and the Dark One to actually have the wheel exist in the first place and go on its turning journey, it may not necessarily be the true power that is actually moving the wheel itself.
Because it's mostly trapped behind that shield. Yeah. No, I mean, we know he needs to exist, which means his power.
By the glossary, the true source is the driving force of the universe, which turns the Wheel of Time. It's divided into the male half Sidine and female half Sidar, which work at the same time with and against each other. Only a man can draw on Sidine, only a woman on Sidar. Since the beginning of time of madness, Sidine has been tainted. Perfect. The one power is the power drawn from the true source.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But it's interesting because in some ways that almost makes the true power sound like the sort of, this is going to be a little dumbed down because this is just the way that my brain is thinking about it.
You think I can handle it smartened up? I can barely handle it as it is.
There's Sidene and Sidar, which are like the magnet that is attracting the wheel in some ways.
Yeah.
The true power and the dark one is another magnet that is repelling the circle, the wheel. Again, this is the dumbed down version.
I see where you're going, though.
It's not actively turning the wheel. It does still have some influence on the wheel's turning.
I still think no.
Okay, fair.
You didn't convince me with that one. Oh, and only because it's behind, you know, there was no sense of, and maybe, I mean, because who knows how deep it goes, but yeah. Like when the dark one was actually fully sealed, no, they were able to sense it. That's how they,
It's an independent power source that comes directly from the dark one.
No, but what I'm saying is even when the boar was solid before Lanfear and the group of scientists drilled into it, they were able to sense it. That's how they found it. So,
Well, and again, my thoughts on this is
one of the reasons
the creator is viewed as dead, and one of the reasons that I appreciate that theory and things like that is that the creator is outside of time and space.
Yeah.
And does not interact with the world.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whether it's because he's dead, whether it's because he is choosing not to, or whether it's because he can't, for whatever reason.
Yeah. I think he unmade himself I think they unmade themselves to create existence.
Sure. And in that way, then the creator being out of time and space and just being in a situation that they can't actually interact with the world. The remnants of them are still sensible. They're still whatever. And that is the one power. That is the true source. That is, you know, everything that you sense. And my thought is that the dark one desperately wants to interact with the world. But at the same time, the dark one is outside of time and space.
Yes.
And so they are in a situation where they can actually impose their will on the world and interact. But they're also behind this screen, which is why they can't just immediately win, because there is no opposing force that is the creator, because the creator is not interacting.
Yeah.
And so that definitely means to me that if there's the true power or the true source and the true power that are both coming from these entities that are outside of time and space, even if there's sort of a veil behind in front of one, given that they are outside of the world, there's no reason that you wouldn't still be able to access.
Or it have some sort of influence.
Have some kind of influence.
That's unequivocal. It does.
Yeah. But it makes sense. If you can pull one, you can pull from the other.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if like people could access it, but like it is there and tangible and sense, like you could sense it because that's how they found it.
It would be possible, because if you can pull from one source of power that sits outside of space time, then there's already the metaphysics to say you can pull from the other one.
The
other one is behind a sealed prison.
That's the thing. I think, and this is again, this is just my head. I think that the creator unmade themselves when they created, you know, everything. And like the remnants of what's left over from the creator is Sidene and Sidar, because they created the dark one. It's not like in the dawn of time, there was the creator and the dark one. It was just the creator. And then the creator created the dark one, knowing that the dark one needs to exist for there to be creation. And we know that through when Rand went into his little, you know, thing at the end of the books. So He created the dark one, put it in its bubble so that its effect would still work on creation, but he wouldn't, the dark one wouldn't be able to fuck shit up, and then unmade himself to make creation and Sidene and
what Sidar. If,
which is what interesting.
If the process of creating creation was so strenuous and damaging that it tainted the creator himself, and the creator doesn't unmake himself, he seals himself away and becomes the Dark One.
Also entirely plausible.
I hate that. That's
terrible. I mean, it's, what? That's I don't really like cool. it either. I don't like it either, that's fucking but it's plausible.
Cool.
Plausible, I'll give you that.
Because then it also would answer the two times in the books where it's at least theorized that the creator speaks to Rand. It could be moments of clarity from the Dark One.
See, I was gonna bring that up too. So you can't, like, the first book, you have to kind of disregard a lot of the crunchy magic system stuff that's in that because yes. he completely retconned all of that in the later books.
In some ways, yeah.
Yeah. Like when he wrote
to the one time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when he wrote that first book, he had he wrote that book prior to it getting picked up by any companies. He wrote it so that it could just be a standalone book.
Yes.
And he hadn't fleshed out the shit yet. Like he hadn't fleshed out any of that shit yet.
Let me be super clear, because I always feel weird saying this. Yeah. Respect as fuck to Robert Jordan
for
just doing this with the first book. But again, I think that if we had Robert Jordan around today and he ended up finishing the series and went back and looked at the Eye of the World and rewrote it, it would be a very different story. Like again, it would be vastly different. Would absolutely be there.
Yeah.
The overall like feel of the story would absolutely be there. But battle moments and like the whole thing between Aghanor and Ishamael and Rand and everything at the end would be so different and would look so different. Yeah. If he went back and rewrote it post, like, you know, Fires of Heaven, when he actually really started.
Before Morshadi, before Morshadi corrects us, Balthamel, not Ishamael.
Yeah, Balthamel.
It's Ishamael.
No, at the end of the Eye of the World, it's Aghanor and Balthamel.
Kills. Balzamon, he also fights Balzamon, who is Ishamael.
Yeah, they fight. Yeah, no, like, I get what you're saying. I was just making sure that it was clear that somebody wasn't like, oh, he said Ishmael, and he met Balthamel.
Oh, no. Balthamel's already dead by the time he has his fight with Aghanor. So he doesn't actually do anything with Balthamel. Balthamel
you get what I'm saying. I'm making sure that is explained so nobody's like, clarification. Oh, he just said the wrong name.
Yes. Clarification.
But no, I'm talking about the big chords, the chord fight that Rand has with Aghanor and that he has with Balzamon after that. Those fights would look very different.
Yeah, because the magic system is more fleshed out. But not even just those fights. When Moiraine is channeling, fighting the Trollocs, and you know, doing her illusions in Barillon and stuff like that, those would all look very different. Like,
oh yeah,
no one ever does any of those things. Like for Moiraine doesn't do anything like that almost ever again. And also
the Moiraine absolutely has talked to Nynaeve and Egwene about the fact that they can channel and has had lessons with Egwene by then. And Egwene, I mean, like, I know that it's not from Egwene's point of view, but the fact that Egwene never says anything or does anything or looks at anything and goes, oh yeah, that time that Moiraine got really fucking glowy, like I definitely think that
it would look very different.
The first book would look very different.
Especially anything with the one power. Everything that has to do with the one power
would look very different. Everything with the one power would look
different. And we wouldn't have a talking fucking Trolloc. Sorry.
We would. Still have Narg. Fuck you. I
hate Narg. I hate him.
I love Narg.
I love Narg, but I do think from a literary standpoint, he spoke because it was a literary device so that it wasn't just an awkward description scene.
It was also, the first book was very Tolkien-esque. Purposefully, he was trying to attract Tolkien fans, and that's really like I really feel like he was playing into like the Uruk-hai goblin type, where you know they could speak common, but they're not good.
Would be cool though if like we could blow a horn, RJ would come back and he would clarify some of the stuff about Balefire, like why sometimes it only cuts a slice, why other times it moves an entire half of a boat.
Well, what do you mean? Because I think that's pretty much answered.
Yeah, I mean, like I know Brandon tried to answer a lot of it, and let me find it, because I actually had that one up. Where is it?
Like, Balefire erases time, so, like, depending on the strength of the person using the Balefire, it can affect other timelines.
Yeah, so,
and also based on the amount of strength that they're putting into it at the time, because there are some... I think it's both, because there are some people who their strength just isn't enough to do much, even though they're doing whatever. But it's also the amount, like, if you do a tiny little strand of balefire, you kick it back 5 seconds.
Not even, yeah.
If you do a bigger thing of balefire, you kick it back 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If you do an entire city worth of balefire, it just turns to glass and the whole pattern is ruined.
Yeah. And well, then you end up with bale screens.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Or you resurrect 5 people that died hours ago.
Is that bale screams? Is that every time Domin and Aegyanin have sex? Bale screams?
Well, I get it. It's funny because it means two things.
Oh, I love it.
Comedical genius you are. I think that's pretty much answered like how balefire works. I mean, like, it's still crunchy and like weird, but like, you know, it erases time. And like the depending on how strong the person is and how much power they put into it, it erases.
Well, and it's also interesting because, again, just the way that it does work, or at least the description of the way that it does work, lends itself to lots and lots of other questions of what happens if I, as a magic user, send a thing of balefire at you, Tom.
Yes.
And you, as a magic user, send a thing of balefire at me. If they don't hit each other, like Moradin and Rance.
Yeah.
And then yours hits me and mine hits you at the exact same second, what happens?
So, like, the question was...
Is the answer nothing? Because we just go back in time to the point where neither of us had balefired the other? And so literally just nothing happens? Or does the whole world explode? Do we divide by zero? Like, what happens?
So the whole question with the boat, correct me if I'm wrong, but after Mogideon hits the boat with balefire, you have the front half of the boat further down the river, the back half of the boat is further up the river, like from where they came.
Yeah.
They're not, like, split in half side by side. So if balefire erases threads in the pattern of what it touches, then why did it cut a swath through it and the back half of the boat jump back and not the front half, and the front half stay? So that means the balefire had to have some non-destroying of the thread effect on the back half of the boat, but not on the front. Because if it affects the entire structure, then both should have shot back up the river rather than just the back. That's what I'm saying. That's
well,
how
it removes,
reading the scene.
So. It's balefire burns the thread out of the pattern. So when it reversed time on the ship, the only parts of the ship that were left was the back half of the ship. But then why
was
the front half?
That was what I thought was in the story. I was actually about to say that, is that I thought that she actually destroyed the entire front of the ship. And then the back half of the ship just goes back. Down.
Yeah, I didn't realize the front half of the ship is still there.
I thought the front half was still there because that's what Nynaeve gets trapped in. She's trapped in part of the ship.
No, she's trapped in the back half of the ship.
Is she trapped in the back half? Does the front half disappear?
Yeah, she's trapped in the back half.
And
I thought the whole front half disappeared.
For old Dirtbeard,
the front half was still there.
Old Dirtbeard in the chat said objects can have threads going both ways. The objects do. I don't know what you're referencing there, but everything has a thread in the pattern.
Everything has a thread. I'm not arguing that. I definitely agree with that.
I don't know what you were saying, but yes, I just wanted to point that out. Just some people don't realize that yes, everything has a thread in the pattern, even objects.
Yes, it's very much, the balefire is so very much butterfly effect in so many ways. And that's one of the fascinating things about it, is that if I balefire willy-nilly up into the sky,
you're unmaking stuff still.
I'm unmaking a bunch of stuff, regardless of the fact that I'm not hitting any buildings or people or floor. There's air up there that I'm setting back. There are clouds that I'm hitting that are sending them back.
And we don't know how far it goes. It goes far.
That I'm hitting. Too. Yeah, it goes. Well, it does seem like that's a little modular. Like, you can actually, again, sort of like pew-pew.
Yeah.
Balefire a little bit, but like, again, it takes a ridiculous amount of control to go ahead and use balefire in the first place. And when you have fucking, you know, Rand in the Samael fight, oh my god, he's the worst. He's just like fucking willy-nillying.
So
bunch so of get, balefire all over the place.
To get back on,
like, Rand, did you not learn anything?
Yeah, I know, right? To get back on a little bit of topic, but staying on balefire, yeah. Do you think then the Dark One likes when people use balefire because technically they're breaking the wheel and breaking the pattern?
Yes and no. My answer to that would be I think he likes anyone using balefire on things that don't affect him.
But technically, using it at all. Like,
but I think he does not like it, for example, being used on his Forsaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it actually impairs his ability for control. And let's be honest, in my humble opinion, the Dark One is... The Dark One's entire thing is control. The reason that he doesn't like the way that the world works is because the Dark One doesn't have enough control. And so his two options are get out of this prison and control the whole world, or destroy the world so that the creator has to remake it so that he has another shot.
I think I agree with you, but I think it's more that the Dark One is chaos.
So on the boat real quick, I am wrong.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
It does in fact get cut in half diagonally, but both halves do shoot back up the river. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So like fair. This, but the section that gets hit doesn't. And that's right.
Well, the section that he gets hit is gone.
The way it's written is because she jerked the balefire, she meant to slice through cabin and passenger. Instead, had sliced diagonally through the middle of the boat, about where the oarsman had stood and the bodyguards. Because the rowers had been burned out of the pattern before the balefire struck, the two halves of the craft were now a good 100 paces back up the river.
Yes, exactly.
Then again, perhaps it was not a complete disaster because that slice from the boat center had gone at the same time the boatman really died, and the river had minutes to rush in. Two parts of the boat sank out of sight as a great froth of bubbles, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yes. No, so you were actually totally right in...
Not the, totally.
The, no, no, yeah. You were totally right in the fact that there were still two halves.
Yes.
That she doesn't actually destroy a large section of the boat. It's just a line through the middle. It's just the fact that there isn't that sort of like balefire fuckery.
Well, I mean, it explains it. Like, the only reason the boat moves is because she struck the oarman rather than.
Yes. It wasn't hitting the boat that moved the boat back. It was killing the oarman that moved the boat back. They propelled the boat forward. They did that. So since she erased their actions of having paddled the boat,
exactly.
It went back.
So that makes sense. Anyway,
back to the Dark One.
Yes. But I like that question because I do think it's interesting of does the Dark One actually want balefire to be used?
I think so. I think it's annoying. I think it's annoying to not be able to bring back his followers, but it ultimately any balefire usage hurts the pattern. And it hurts the pattern.
Yeah.
Like and like, you know, it starts to unmake the pattern, which is why I really wish I could have seen, we could see, like, from the Dark One's perspective where it was, like, you know, like, during the War of Power or the War of Shadow.
All of the different balefire usage?
When they kind of just agreed not to use it anymore, the Dark One was like, damn it, it's close. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, man, if you would have just balefire three more cities, the pattern would have broken.
Right. Or like the Dark One is sitting there like on the other side, like yelling at his followers, being like, no, keep doing fucking A. Like,
yeah. Just link together and just balefire everything, damn it.
Meanwhile, like Rand's getting ready to like just turn Netrum's burrow into glass and everybody else is like, no. And the Dark One's just like, yes. One's just like,
oh, God damn it, Rand.
Yes. Almost.
More.
I've been edging for so long.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
You can cut that.
So what is your dark. Win con for the Dark
100%
One?
100%.
My what?
Your win condition. Like, how does the Dark One win? Besides simply, like, he destroys the Wheel of Time.
Well, I mean, he, like, if the Dark One is freed from his prison with that's how he wins. Like, that's... Like, what does it look like? Like, what is...
So you're saying, like, if he's fully freed from the prison without any restraint, in that moment, he could make his strike, and that would...
I mean, like he would pretty much just unmake time. Pretty much, I mean, I would imagine the biggest beam of Balefire coming from the true power that you've ever seen, and it would just burn out everything from existence. It would unmake everything for all time.
Channel the entirety of the true power into the true power as Balefire.
Pretty much.
Or kind of.
Yeah. He would shoot true power at existence from outside of existence. And it's been like maybe 6 months since I reread A Memory of Light, but I believe when Rand is sensing the Dark One in the fight in the caverns at Mount Doom, he says like the Dark One's power is the size of the universe. Like, it's so immense. It's the size of the universe. Like, it's, it unfathomably big, and that, like, could you imagine that if the Dark One, obviously it's his power, so he would have full control over it, using that to create a Balefire and Balefiring.
The scariest thing in some ways is that Rand also describes the Chodun Call, and that's a human made thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, if I just Balefired the whole world using the Chodun Call, I could just undo everything. Now just take that and make it bigger. Because when he describes the Dark One, it's bigger than that. It's more immense than that. It is larger than the Chodun Call. And he's just like, fuck.
Exactly. I honestly think like there's no other answer to than just nothing. Like, the Dark One would unmake time and just be a vast nothingness.
Well, so now the real question is, how far can time, or not the real question, my follow-up question, not the real question. That was a real question. But my follow-up question.
They're all real questions.
Yes.
My secret.
How far back can the Dark One Balefire things? Because
everything, I would say everything.
But what I'm saying is, if the world came about, if all creation came about by the Creator creating the Dark One and the world,
does he unmake himself and then turn?
Does he unmake himself?
And this is
and remake the Creator,
or does it
by
does it
Balefiring
go back?
It?
Does it go back to the point of when the boar got drilled? Like, does it just stop there? Exactly. Because there's so much. There's so much.
Actually, send it back further than that. Like.
Yeah. There's so much. There's so much that goes into, like, you know, the paradoxes when you talk about time shit, that it's so hard to mess with that. But I think he would. I think it would transcend that, and it would just be nothing. I mean, he doesn't even want to exist either. He didn't give a shit. Like, the Dark One is entropy. Like, they want nothing. Like, that's, and which is always hilarious. Like, something I talk about a lot when we talk about Dark Friends is, like, the only Dark Friend that gets it is Ishmael. Like, he's the only one that gets it. Everyone else thinks that they're going to be ruling over the world and having, like, continents and slaves and, like, ridiculous shit. The only one that gets it is Ishmael. He knows that it's going to be unmade. There's going to be nothing. We're destroying everything. And I really wish, like, we could get a perspective from, like, a Dark Friend that's, like, you know, just, like, a common person that was just like, yeah, I'll be a Dark Friend. Then I get to cheat everybody, and, you know, I can kill the people I don't like. And then all of a sudden the last battle's happening when they're alive. Like, damn it. Like, I just wanted to be a Dark Friend. I didn't think the Dark One was actually going to get friends. Like, I'm just a human. I'm going to die in, like, 20 years. Why? Can't just wait. Let's have to be now.
I mean, I think they understand. And it's part of the reason why, like, they fight against each other as much as, well, pretty much that's all they
do. Oh, you mean the Forsaken?
Yeah, the Forsaken. Because, like, they want that. They want the power of being tied to the Dark One. They want to be able to roll over lands. They want to be able to basically do whatever they want and live as, you know, higher than kings and queens and have power. But Ishmael, like you said, is the only one that really is like, I'm tired of just being. Can we not? So, yeah, he gets, I think they all kind of get what the Dark One winning means, but he's the only one that actively wants the Dark One to win, while the rest are kind of like, eh, Not really. And there's probably some that are like, well, if he wins, it doesn't matter because I won't exist. So who cares? I might as well enjoy life while I can. That might be about half of the rest.
Yeah.
But I think there's a good portion that are just kind of like, they very quietly in the deepest corners of their mind never actively think, but they don't want him free.
Yeah.
They just want the power.
And for Morshadi, he said he's the result of studying too much philosophy. He's also the result of being alive for 3,000 years. Like,
well, he is an ultimate nihilist.
Conscience. I don't think the other, but I will say, I don't think the other Forsaken truly understand what it means for the Dark Ones.
Well, okay. This is one of the interesting things for me, because one of the reasons that I actually said no from the get-go is...
Oh, yeah, we didn't even see about that. Why do you think
no? No worries.
I figured soon we were going to, like, switch over and let Danny be like, so why can't
he? I was thoroughly...
I forgot.
It is that apparently, given the asterisk that Andrew gave, I will change my answer in some ways to no with an asterisk, because I think that the Dark One actually does have a goal that is control over the entire world. I think that the Dark One isn't actually Entropy. That's okay. Actually one of the things that I've always thought was interesting, is that he has been alive so long and he is actually a nihilist. He has studied way too much Nietzsche. And he's just like, I have lost so many fucking times that at this point, I just want it to be over so that we can start this all again. And maybe next time I won't get sealed away in a fucking bore from the beginning of time. But I think that the Dark One actually does want dominion over the entire world. I think that he actually does want to control creation. But up until this point, he has lost every single time that he has tried to gain control over the entire world. And so finally, by the time that we get to the Third Age and we get to Rand and we get to the story of this particular dragon reborn and this particular, you know, age of the Dark One, the Dark One's just like, I'm never getting what I want. I'm not fucking getting it. I just need to end this and start over. And so the Dark One's goal at the point where Rand actually comes into the story is, all right, I'm going to try to get Rand on my side. Just like I've tried to get every other dragon reborn on my side. And it sometimes worked and it sometimes hasn't. But I've never actually been able to assert full control. So if I can get Rand, maybe it'll work out this time. But if I can't, I just want to break everything. I just want to break everything, start over. Once the wheel is destroyed, I'm safe because I'm outside of time and space.
Yeah, and there's an argument between
the creator is safe. He's outside of time and space.
Yeah.
And so
we can
if
do it
I
again.
Just destroy the whole thing, we start over.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the Dark One's goal in the story is unachievable, of just having there be nothing. I think he's trying to restart things, which I think is achievable.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made for that, like that he's more, instead of entropy, he's chaos.
Yes, and again, I think that he would be, I think that he would be happiest sitting in dominion over the over creation and just sowing chaos and just having people be chaotic and just watching it all happen, sitting in this, you know, weird throne in Shale Ghul.
Yeah. And you'd be happier sitting on the Nine Rods of Dominion.
Don't threaten me with a good time. A great piece of evidence for the chaos theory with the Dark One is the Bubbles of Evil, I think.
For example.
Like they that's literally, the Bubbles of Evil are pure chaos in ways that don't follow any kind of rules of the universe.
Well, and also, like, again, I think the Bubbles of Evil are an extremely great example of just, what purpose in any way, shape, or form do the Bubbles of Evil have?
Nothing. They're chaos.
It's just gas, chaos. Man. It's just him letting it loose.
Well, just, but again, the Dark One isn't an idiot. And this is one of the things.
But he is lactose intolerant.
He's not.
Okay, fair enough. I stand corrected.
It's a true reason that he, if he ever wanted to get rid of like all existence, it's because of his lactose intolerance. He's like, I can't enjoy ice cream and cheese. No, everybody's done.
We're done.
Fuck all of you.
No, hit the reset button. Reload the save.
I think that the bubbles of evil are actually one of the greatest examples. And again, I'm not saying that this theory is perfect. There is so much merit to all of this, but I think that the bubbles of evil are one of the strongest indicators of. We see the Dark One be very smart, but also have a handicap given to himself. Because again, he's so chaotic that he just sets his followers against each other because working together isn't the point.
It's the antithesis of chaos. Him too. He can't do it. He can't even do it.
Yeah, exactly. Chaos is the point. And therefore he wants his agenda to be done, but he can't organize his followers. They need to be chaotic.
Can he not organize them, or does he purposefully play them against each other so that they don't talk to each other and work together enough to realize what his true end is?
Well, so I would say,
yeah,
personally, and the theory that I have is that the Forsaken are, as you said, the antithesis of him, because he is so chaotic that even though he knows what he needs to do to actually win,
he can't act outside of his nature.
Chaotic enough.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be his true nature. And so he just ends up handicapping himself.
Yeah. It's
requirements that he has on himself. And so you have, you know, the Forsaken infighting, and they don't win the war for him because he's like, oh, but chaos though. And again, he's smart enough to know that the bubbles of evil aren't helping.
Yeah.
The likelihood that he actually kills Matt randomly with these playing cards, or that he kills Rand randomly with these mirrors, or that he kills whatever.
Or they sink into the ground somewhere.
Right. It is so ridiculously small.
Yeah.
But he does it anyway because chaos is everything that he is.
Yeah. And I completely love this theory. I don't think the bubbles of evil are aimed or purposeful. I think they're just like accidents. They're just accidents that come out. Yeah. Like he's not purposefully aiming them at Rand or Matt.
But it's their severe nature that draws them to them because they just travel along the threads.
It's just it's fun thinking about it like that because like when you look at like the Fae, the mythology around the Fae is like they are bound by their nature. They can't even the most uber powerful of the Fae, Tatiana and Mab, like the queens of summer and winter, they are bound by their nature. They cannot act outside of their, if they were to act outside of their nature, they would die. Like they physically can't do it. So like that would be something, that's a good argument for the Dark One being chaos, because like he sows chaos and discord wherever he is, which hurts his chances for actually winning.
Did you just explain the overall ineffectiveness of the armies of the shadow?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kinda.
I'm on board. I'm on board.
It's a similar theme like in everything. Like look at the Sith in Star Wars.
Yeah, it's a better statement than just saying they're too greedy to work together.
Sure. Well, I also can I just say I love that part of it, because in so many ways, if you look at the forces of the light, they're almost as bad because human nature is almost as bad. Now, they do end up organizing more than the armies of the shadow in some ways, but human nature in and of itself is still like a certain amount of chaos and a certain amount of greed and a certain amount of selfishness and a certain amount of whatever. Now, it's also, you know, I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, selflessness and altruism and things like that, that sort of balance it out in human nature, but there is still like, there are entire groups of people who are just like, no, we're not going to help in the last battle because fuck you. And you're like, dude, you know, that the last battle is the last hurrah. Like, yeah. You're aware of this and you're still saying no. Like, what the fuck? Because that just, like, there is a certain amount of that in human nature, because humans are the combination of just, like, all of these different factors playing themselves out in birth and in experience and in environment and everything like that. And so you're getting people who are just like, no, I'm not helping fight the last battle, fuck you. And you're also getting other people who are like, I will give my life for the last battle and all of humanity. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, and so it's almost like a necessity in so many different stories, including this one, that the enemy be so disorganized and so untrusting and so all of the different stuff, because otherwise you just have, you know,
they would win and there would be no story.
Powerful of a force. Yeah.
But there's also the inherent, like, to be that type of being, I feel like there's always going to be that psychological problem, because, like, sure. You are not, like, you're not capable of thinking super logically, because if you were, you would probably not be a horribly evil asshole.
Yep.
And that's why usually, like, in stories, they don't work very well or win.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, I like this topic. We could go on for another fucking 7 hours on this. I mean, it's great.
Probably.
The Dark One. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, he.
I bet you the Dark One's hard.
I mean, all the time. That's what just those cords are.
Regularly.
They don't connect to their hearts or anything. They go directly up their ass.
Yes. Perfect.
That's why Ishmael's so angry all the time.
Embrace the tank.
That's how you cleanse the taint, literally.
Yes.
Or else that's where the taint is.
It's just Rand. Cleanse
the taint through the taint.
Just Rand and Nynaeve walking around with wet wipes.
I mean, as much as you make a joke, let's be honest, Nynaeve and Dahmer Flynn are just wet wiping the shit out of everybody. Yeah.
Fair.
It's just magical wet. It's earth for the actual wipes themselves, and water for the cleaning solution, and air for the drying process afterwards, and spirit to make sure that you don't hurl while you're cleaning up all this tape.
And fire just to get a little tingly. No, you need a little tingle in there.
What if fire is just a sanitization?
You need a little tingly, like gold bond powder.
It could be both. Like hydrogen peroxide.
If it's not tingling a little bit, you're not doing it right. It's right.
Yeah, I mean, hydrogen peroxide, you know, still tingles, but it's cleaning. It can work.
Exactly.
Which apparently is actually bad. Like, most doctors don't recommend pouring it on wounds because it kills all the good bacteria too and the cells.
Correct.
It's only good to lift debris out of wounds. It's not. Doesn't actually clean anything.
Yes. So that's why you actually do. Or at least it is not unrecommended to do it after you've gotten the initial injury. But please don't continue to, like, unwrap hydrogen peroxide and then rewrap it.
You know, I've just got the image of somebody pouring hydrogen peroxide on a wound to the tune of "You Raise Me Up."
Or since we were talking about, you know, anally cleansing things, you know, just butt chugging hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah,
I don't condone this. If there's anyone listening here, don't do that.
I like the way it bubbles.
You would get insanely drunk. Insanely
would you though?
Quickly. You would, because hydrogen peroxide is like ridiculous.
Is it alcohol? Is it alcohol? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, 100%. Not actually 100%. It's like 80%.
I didn't realize it was alcohol.
Very high. But
back to the Dark One.
So the Dark One has just butt chugged some hydrogen peroxide. What happens next?
The GIF that's currently in chat is what happens.
Excellent.
For those who can't see, it's a It is a mushroom that looks like a thoroughly erecting penis.
Which is like most mushrooms, but also this one is...
It's more of a grower. It's a grower. Yes,
this is a spot on mushroom. Also looks a lot like a certain rocket.
From a certain person. That should have stayed in space.
All right, I'm done from now on. That was my like third and final one.
Dick rocket joke?
If I ever want to make it on this show, I need to fucking stop.
On the TV show. Okay, never mind. I was like...
Oh, yeah, good luck.
Oh, no, not this show.
That it's not
show.
That hard to make it on the Black Tower. Like, let's be honest. Like,
I don't know.
Like,
who would you be if they recruited you?
Morden.
Sorry, I need to laugh directly in your face. I'm sorry.
No, I would love to fucking play Morden in the show. I want to be Dark Rand.
Do you have the acting chops? I don't know.
Son.
I don't know.
I've been an actor for... Yes, sorry. Answer to your question, just yes.
Okay. Yeah,
the answer.
I don't know your life.
I appreciate that. That's why I was like, you haven't actually been on every episode of this show, like Andrew and Josh.
Wait a minute, are you telling me you're acting?
Bit of an asshole. Yes.
You're acting? This isn't the real you?
No, this is the real me.
Oh, okay.
But also...
Andrew's like, nah bro. Nah.
We spent 3 months carefully orchestrating this character.
We can rebuild him.
No, see, I know, stronger, I know I can't faster, do it. I'm a shit like liar. And like when it comes to like trying to script me, I fuck up. So I would not be able to act unless they were like, just improv everything. I'd be like, all right, cool. That's the only way I'd be able to act.
You're going to be Asmodian.
Yeah, there you go.
You're just going to Robin Williams the shit out of the whole role.
That's perfect. I'll do it. Except for the end. Except for the end bit. Except for the end.
The whole thing.
I won't.
Idiot sheep herder. I don't know.
The end bit of Asmodian or the end bit of
Robin Williams. It's too soon.
No, it's not too soon. I feel better that I wasn't the only one that was thinking it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, which end do you mean? Still sad. Yes, sad.
Very sad. Very sad. For Asmodian too, I did enjoy Asmodian's presence. He was like almost like comedy relief a lot when you just because you knew who Asmodian was. So like from the reader's perspective, watching like, you know, the interactions there, it was funny. He was like a little bit
around people. He was like Randland's one man My Chemical Romance band.
Yeah.
Play me a song. Welcome to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
So do we want to start wrapping this up with any kind of final thoughts, if we have any thoughts left?
Hey, my name is Daniel and I'm here to say
never do that again, ever. Ever.
You said we were wrapping it up.
No,
I was gonna do the Black Tower Shuffle.
No, you're on punishment.
No, you can't even call it that. No. Just because you have equal propriety rights to the name doesn't mean you can use it like that.
Hey, I was actually alive and not present at the game.
I don't believe you.
Alive and in Chicago when the Bears did the Super Bowl Shuffle. So I have some of the most ability to say such things.
So anyway, yeah, that was a great show.
You got a kid somewhere because that was that bad of like a pun, dad joke, terrible naming convention mix.
What?
Huh? The fucking Black Tower Shuffle thing and no, the wrapping it up thing. That.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that was I absolutely have kids somewhere. I don't know who they are or where they are, but the amount.
Fun fact: they know the same about you.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But the amount and level of dad jokes that I make definitely means that there are kids out there that have half of me in them.
If that's the logic we're going by, then I'm fucked. I definitely have kids somewhere.
You're probably fucked more recently than I am. So
I am married.
Depends on your interpretation.
Both ways.
Anyway, so actually, we're wrapping this up.
Are we?
Yes.
No.
I mean, we're wrapping up the episode.
We'll have you back on.
It's not like we're not going to see. Oh, yeah. Final thoughts, and then we'll do announcement stuff.
Okay, I'll stop interjecting.
No, you're fine. In fact, this is the perfect time for you to go ahead and interject. I would like to hear Tom's final thoughts. The more you know,
like about the topic, not like in life.
Oh, okay.
We want to hear those too, but that can wait quite a while.
I thought we weren't rival. All right, I'm gonna leave. Final thoughts: can the Dark One win? Yes. What it would look like? I'm still leaning toward nothing. I mean, I got my toes in the water of chaos control now. Thinking about it more after Daniel said his spiel, but. I'm still in the vicinity of he would just unmake everything and it would be nothing. And which goes into my other bit about like the creator not being around anymore. So like, you know, if he were to break everything, that's why it's so impactful. Like everything is on the line here. Like the creator doesn't exist anymore. So the creator can't remake everything. So if the Dark One was to win, that's it. Existence is over.
Fair.
My final thought.
I like it. Andrew? Yes, asterisk.
So from the whole discussion, I mean, apart from it just being an incredibly enjoyable discussion, as always, 90% of the time. I don't know. High percentage.
60% of the time.
There were some good things that I got reminded of that reshaped some of like how I thought about stuff, like the way the books describe the metaphysics of the mirror worlds and stuff like that. Which is why, but like honestly, for me, that's like 80% of the fun of these discussions is like being reminded of like, well, yeah, it's a cool idea, but here's why if we're going by the books, it doesn't quite fit. not something I've ever heard before in my life. Pretty easy.
Anyway.
I like the new idea that I say new to me idea that the effort and strain of creating all of creation somehow like disrupted or weakened or tainted the creator, and that's why he's kind of no longer around, because he sealed himself away because he saw that he was broken. It was like, I'm gonna hide in my little hidey hole, and then just because he went far too introvert. He went full introvert. He just kind of lost his mind.
Too much My Chemical Romance, I guess.
Yeah, too much My Chemical Romance. Must have missed that the creator still exists. He's just a dick and doesn't interfere. So we mentioned that more shoddy. I mentioned the two times, and then we threw out in Eye of the World because, although that was pretty much retconned by RJ, at least to some extent. We didn't really talk about it the second time, but if the creator was damaged and became the Dark One, it could have been like a moment of like sanity or non-chaotic assholeness that allowed him to speak to Rand as a creator, if that is indeed the creator speaking to him.
Or maybe it's the back to the same thing about their nature and being bound by their nature, like the creator physically can't interfere because of their nature.
Well, it's also
it could also just be the Dark One being like, it's fucking time, let's go, boys.
Yeah,
like,
right? Yeah.
Let's fucking go, boys.
Go, boys. No,
I also like the idea that if the creator actually unmade himself to make creation, then there has to be an echo of the creator in creation. And maybe this is just like that moment where some echo of the creator just
like the Eversword in the Cosmere and
exactly like the Eversorbent.
Well, I was kind of thinking that like if the creator through creating creation gets like corrupted or damaged or weakened or whatever, however you want to rationalize it, because I'm not smart enough at this exact moment to figure out a good argument for like exactly what would have happened from the strain and becomes the Dark One, then the Dark One destroying creation would release a ton of power that maybe he reabsorbed and then becomes the creator again, which then the creator creates creation again. So it's still
cyclical. Yeah.
So it still keeps with the motif that like whatever happens, happens. So it's like, yes, the Dark One can win, but it's a never ending story. So I don't know. I think it's cool theories, cool ideas.
It's plausible.
I would love for everybody out there, all like 20 people that hear this, to take and like talk about it and come up with their own ideas and stuff like that.
Hey, we regularly get somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 watches on YouTube.
Don't impostercize yourself. You're fantastic.
I'm not. We get like, sorry, I take that back. It's actually just the same 20 people watching it like
20. Yeah, a couple times. They're like, did he really say that? Or they're like, I can't take any more of this. I'm going to close this and come back.
Did you really say this?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's my final thought. Like Tom, I agree that the Dark One can win. We just have kind of, different ideas of maybe
adjacent,
what that means.
Adjacent yes. ideas.
Yeah.
No, we're not bringing Jason into this. He decided to not be on this episode. So
we also didn't invite Jason to this
episode. No, I know. That was the joke.
Probably a good thing too, Mr. Rocket.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it if he had been here. Actually, that's not true. I would have said it once in the pre-recording and then never
again. Then I probably would have got the message. Can you edit that out? Which technically, yes, I can.
Yes, indeed.
Which is perfectly fine. It's not a rag on anybody. Just to make it's that clear to somebody that wants to interpret Wheel of Time creator drama where there is none.
There is none.
Yeah, there isn't. Well, actually, that's not true. There is. It's just not with
here.
Us.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, there probably is.
Or us. I don't know. People, yeah. Someone I'm sure doesn't like me. I don't know who.
Right.
You know, it's impossible to make everybody happy, but it's definitely possible and a lot more fun to piss everybody off. So.
Oh, no, I did piss some people off in Jordan. Well, not some, two people specifically when I banned them from JordanCon a couple days ago. The JordanCon Facebook group.
Oh.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, that's wah,
don't be a homophobe in JordanCon. Bye.
Yeah, no, don't be a Jordan.
Don't do that.
Don't be a homophobe, period.
Well, I don't have the ability to kick them out of life.
I mean,
or,
technically.
You know, it's frowned upon. It's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Right?
It's definitely frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. I don't want to go to jail. So I just kicked them out of JordanCon. So
the difference between having the power and then having the restraint to not use the power.
Exactly.
It's mostly why I don't go outside.
Daniel, what are your final thoughts?
So it's interesting and funny because I, as stated after listening to this entire discussion, the answer that I'm going to give, my final thoughts, all of that is, I agree with Tom and also with Andrew in certain ways. I think that we were just
asterisk me. All right.
Well, no, what I was saying is
your five-piece McNutt McAsshole meal.
And you're supposed to be in a dumpster behind Denny's, you McAsshole. One of the things that I sort of, we maybe should have like sort of defined what winning and whatnot was better, because I think the answer is yes. I think that the Dark One can achieve his goal of breaking the wheel. I just also think that then things start over, and so he hasn't really won, because since it's cyclical, he can win 1,000 times, but is that really winning? The answer is, I don't know. I wouldn't call that winning, is like the whole thing that I'm behind. And so seeing as how in every world and in every sort of iteration of the Wheel of Time, I feel like if the Dark One wins, it just starts over. I that was why I initially said no. He can never actually achieve his goal, even though he can achieve his goal many times. It just then starts over, and then it's like, okay, well, now I have to achieve it again. Like,
yeah. Or does he even know, because he kind of unmakes himself?
Exactly, bingo. Yeah. But yeah, so my final thoughts are I've always absolutely loved the way that Robert Jordan wrote this series, and the way that, you know, Brandon Sanderson finished it in the fact that it has always very much felt to me like everything matters and everything is so high stakes, and at the same time nothing matters and stakes don't exist, because Rand and company, it's their entire lives on the line, it's their entire existence on the line, it's everything that they hold dear on the line. And for the Dark One, it's everything he's worked for thousands of years on the line. And yet there is so much the theme and the like constant driving home of this has happened before, it will happen again. This has happened before, it will happen again. That time is so cyclical that in some ways, nothing matters. If the Dark One wins, you just get a new creation. And if Rand wins, the Dark One just starts the next cycle of thousands of years of trying to take over the world and break the wheel. And it's just, it's such a fascinating concept to me that I absolutely love it. And
what are we doing tonight, Brain? Same thing we do every night, Binky. Take over the world.
No one wins. And I fucking love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. So those of you that are that listen to the episode, whether you're listening live or you listen to it after live, so like after it's been posted, let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube. Let us know what you think in Discord. Feel free to tweet at us and comments on Podbean, which are weirdly only visible via the mobile app, apparently, unless I'm just dumb and doing something wrong, which is entirely possible. But let us know what you think, what you thought about the episode, where you think we're wrong or stuff like that, where you agree, what maybe things you didn't think about. Let us know. And if you're going to be critical, like, do try to be constructive with it, not just, oh, I know more than you, so you're fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. Because that's a good way to just not get a response from us, because we don't have to answer anybody. Anyway, if you are listening to this episode on or after, after the 17th of September, we hope you were able to attend and enjoy the live stream that we did on the 17th. With Tom and Critter XD and maybe some others. We'll see how that goes and everything, but see that video for more comments on that. If you're listening to us live or you're able to listen to this before the 17th, we are doing another live stream. 17th September, that is Saturday. We're doing it at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Tom will be there, and then after a little bit, Critter XD will be joining us as well, and we will be talking about what the Wheel of Time trailer means for season one. It's not intended to be just a breakdown of all the parts of the trailer, because there's literally probably dozens, if not hundreds, of videos on it by now. And
there are dozens of us. Dozens! Yeah.
And from the inception of the podcast, we don't like always doing what is the most popular format of whatever at the time. Well, that's not always easy to do because there's so many content creators and stuff now. But we do our own thing whenever we want to do within reason. So make sure that that's on your schedules and you're there for that. After, if you're listening live after this episode, you should be able to see it, because I'm probably going to upload the thumbnail now because I probably forgot. But yeah, but for those of you that listen to this after the live stream, hope you enjoyed the live stream. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. It'll be on our YouTube channel. And on our Twitch and somewhere on Twitter, because we can multicast now.
Yay!
Because we're fancy bitches.
I'm so fancy.
Yeah.
Coming out StreamYard.
Speaking of fancy, go and check out New Creations by Jen.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, New Creations by Jen. .com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbygen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff, and the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcast, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
Once you've got all the merch and you've spent all of, well, most of your money there, because we know the rest of your money you put into our Patreon because you just love us that much, go and check out thegreatblight.com.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
If you do none of the other things, if you don't check out our site, if you don't check out the Patreon, if you don't check out the Crystal Barista, New Creations by Jen of the Great Blight, go and check out and show love and support to our friends over at Dragamount. If you're not already doing so, if you are doing so, love them even harder. And Tom, feel free to say your things here.
Input
Dragon Mount plugs.
Yeah, I mean, we did it at the beginning, but yeah. Check out the Wheel of Time community show. That's you know, the show that I'm on with Kitty and Ebony. They're the true stars. But also, you know, we have several bloggers. Adam Whitehead is going to be blogging for the all the stuff about the show. He's going to be doing the show blog for us. Go if you're into what is it called, young adult fantasy, you should check out Jason Denzel. You should check out his book, Mystic. It's pretty good. It's a tour book. I beta read the most recent one. The first one, and I read the first and second one. They're pretty good books. And if you're into YA, then you'll like it. It's great for kids too, but I enjoy YA books as well. Like,
what happened to the MC?
What's up?
What happened to the MC?
I'm my brain. Ah, my brain was not there. My brain was not there. I take that.
Not as many as Daniel, but I probably got a kid or two somewhere.
Yeah, I was about to say there's a kid somewhere that's groaning and they don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want quick links to Jason Denzel's books and you don't find them quickly in the Dragon Mount link below, which is going to be a link to their link tree, which has whatever links they put up on it whenever they decide to edit it or change it or move that around, which includes their Patreon. Go back. We did an episode with Jason on, and there are links in that show description for all of his stuff, his website, his books, all of that kind of fantastic stuff. Yeah. So definitely go and check that out and go and tell them that the Black Tower sent you so they can groan and be like, oh, fuck, there's more of
those them. Guys, those guys,
those fucking guys. But yeah. So from all of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, we thank you so much for coming out and listening and enjoying this, and hope you enjoyed the discussion, the conversation, and we look forward to having more incredible conversations in the future. Josh sends his love and thanks as well. I'm pretty sure he's probably off of a plane by now, I would imagine. But hopefully he's back home safe. I'm sure he is. But I have been your Bijan Mihail, Andrew.
And I have been your Amin Khan Mihail, Daniel. And as stated, from everyone here at the Black Tower, thank you for being here. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Wherever you are, we hope that you are having a fantastic morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon. Good evening.
So much trouble, just fitting.